today on Real Radio.
Because they've been deceived by the enemy. They've been taken away from the very love of God. So that's why we're saying, with this mind, with your mind, what are you going to do with it? Understand this, that it's God's will that your joy in Christ increase. And the result of that should be greater assurance.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his series now through Paul's second New Testament letter to the Corinthians. We're looking at the first four verses of chapter 11 today. The passage contains a verse that is well known to seasoned believers who've been deceived. Paul warns against falling for a false Jesus, a false spirit, and a false gospel. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a multi-part series called With This Mind.
We've come nearly now to the end of the book, chapter 11, to the closing of the book itself is now in a different section. Paul is now beginning his farewell to them. He wrote to them, as you well know, 1 Corinthians. And a period of time went by. There was a lot of dynamic. There was a lot of trouble in the church at Corinth. And to top it off, you know that legalists were coming behind Paul and undermining his work. And Paul had given the Corinthian church their start. He had birthed that church. He had taught that church. He had discipled that church. And then he moved on to other parts of Europe. And after he left, what spiritual cowards do, what bad guys do, is that they come behind, they infiltrate what God is doing. Satan doesn't start anything afresh. Satan always arises within the midst of what God is doing. Remember that, Christian, because you and I are living in an age when we will see more and more of what happened to Paul. The gospel, listen, slightly tweaked. You only have to tweak the gospel a little bit for it to become polluted. And then the next thing they do is turn and shoot the messenger. And they had been shooting at Paul and trying to undermine him. And so now Paul counters with a quite remarkable punch. Because those of you, if you remember the end of chapter 10, Paul had argued with them. Remember, he said to them that those who compare themselves among themselves are not wise. Remember that? He also said to them that there are those who will boast about themselves, and that's never a good thing to do. Paul said that if anyone's going to boast, look at verse 18, chapter 10 in your Bibles, if anyone's going to boast, let them boast in the Lord, because in the end, God will be the one. It's not good that man approves of himself. What matters is when God approves of the man, right? God's the judge. No sooner did he say that than the opening throes of chapter 11, verse 1, but please mark this down. Paul is not contradicting what he just said. In fact, as we look at this, it's kind of a sad thing and yet a beautiful thing as to what happens. And I'll explain this more in a moment. The title of the message today, and in fact it's going to be this way for a few weeks because of what we're looking at, is three simple words. With this mind. Can you write that down? With this mind. We're going to be talking about the mind of Paul. We're going to be talking about the mind of God. We're going to be talking about your mind and my mind. With this mind. In a moment, we're going to be reading a little bit of what is a wedding type of setting. And again, I'm going to stress with this mind. Most often, we think of a wedding, and we hear the invitation, with this ring, I thee wed. And what's that all about? Traditionally, normally, the groom and the bride are giving vows, promises. They're making declarations that are very serious, mind you. You may not remember your vows, but God remembers them. They're actually not to the people in the wedding audience. They are to the person to whom you're saying them to. But the one who remembers every word and every motive behind every word regarding vows, because God's the one who invented vows, is none other than the Lord himself. He's very serious about vows. God says, I will hold us all accountable to our vows, whatever vow we make. And so we will seal the vows. We will culminate the vows with placing the ring on the finger of our husband or our wife. It's the ring. And so with this ring, I thee wed, announcing everything I've just declared to you, I seal with this precious metal of unending, right? Think about it. It's an unending gold or platinum or silver or whatever. And why? It's binding. It's a declaration on the finger. It's binding. It sticks. You remember when you're a little kid, you put the quarter in the gumball thingy and you turn it and out comes this thing and whatever. Sometimes you had a little toy or a Cracker Jack box. Do they even make Cracker Jacks anymore? Man, those things were good. I'm kind of having a drooling fit right now thinking about them. That you'd pull out a ring sometimes and there'd be a ring. And did you notice the ring fit any size finger? Did you notice that? Why? Oh, come on. Why? Because there was a cut in the back. And so it just expands to fit the finger for convenience sake. Listen, that may be great in a Cracker Jack box, but it's not great to God. Because God is fully committed and expects us as Christians to be fully faithful to Him. And I need you to remember that as we look at this. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, we begin at verse 1, and we'll go as far as we can today, which I can warn you, ain't far. Verse 1, listen to his emotion and sarcasm, mind you. Oh, he says to the Corinthians, that you would bear with me in a little folly, and indeed you do bear with me. For I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy, for I have betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Verse 3, but I fear lest somehow as the serpent deceived or beguiled Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Verse 4, for if he who comes preaches, listen to this, number 1, another Jesus, did you know that there's another Jesus? Whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit, did you know that there's a different spirit than what you've received? Which you have not received, or a different gospel. Did you know that there's a different gospel? Which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it. Listen, in the weeks ahead, verses 3 and 4 we'll get deeper into, but Paul is warning them, you know what? He says to the Corinthian church, you better watch out, because the direction you're heading, you are flirting with disaster. You have been loved on. You have been taken care of, and so much so by the grace of God that the people you're listening to now are none other than those that are inspired by satanic powers who will corrupt your mind and get you to think just a little bit off as they tweak the gospel, and you will wind up being ruined in your faith. And so with all of that to learn in the next several weeks, he stresses the foundation. And believe it or not, church, in verse 1, what does he do? They force him, as they undermine his authority, they force him to boast. But he's not apologizing for it. You see, I thought he just said, don't boast. He doesn't boast, but he's forced to boast. There's difference here. They put him in the place of not listening to what Paul had been saying regarding the gospel. Church, listen carefully. He is going to come to them and say, I'll paraphrase. Okay, so you've listened to these quacks spiritually come against me and the message I've been preaching to you. And you consider me a fool and you consider what I've been saying to you folly. Well then, indulge me a little bit longer in my folly to give you a little bit more foolishness. Do you hear this holy sarcasm in this? It's actually pretty awesome. He's actually, in a sense, getting down to where they're at to strike them with a blow of truth. And it is going to affect their spirit. It is going to affect their mind. It is going to affect their theology. And so it should. It's vitally important. By the way, before we get into this point this morning, there's only one of them, so you can relax today. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, you know it well. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, as Paul wrote to the church at Rome, to a bunch of Italians, he says to them, I urge you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you, number one, present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Now, keep that verse up there on the screen and keep this in your mind. Remember the context of 2 Corinthians 11. He says to them, I've espoused you to one husband. Let's talk about that for a moment. In light of Romans. When you think of the word present, and we'll get this more in the weeks ahead, you see a bride coming down the aisle. She's being presented by her father to the husband-to-be. Paul says to the church at Rome, present yourself. Now look, a father cannot walk the bride down the path unless she is willing to go, unless she has prepared herself, all the primping, all of the decoration. I'm at a loss for words. All of the what's happening? The hair, she's this, then they're cutting little threads and all this stuff. You know, her maids of honor or her maids are all over her. And they're making her perfect. And listen, the weddings I do, I try to keep them on time. We will start on time. And the groom, he's like, let's start on time. Let's get this show going. The groom's ready. It's so easy. I did a wedding last week in Pasadena, and it's so easy because, you know, I went and met with the bride in her court first, and it's so serious. It's heavy, man. It's heavy. And she had a huge train. It was actually glorious. Biggest thing I've ever seen since the Queen of England. But it was amazing. It was amazing. And everyone's cutting and trimming and lighting and stuff. It's kind of tense. And I prayed with her and her friends. And then I go to the guys. And it's great. And the guys, you walk in there. How are you? Good, good, good. It's good. So it's like, okay, let's pray. And it's so simple because, okay, guys, you ready to go? And this is what I have to tell the guys. You may be offended at this. I don't know, but I'm talking reality here. Guys, get in line. I'll lead. Groom behind me. Rest of you guys in order. Don't run up on each other. Just stay paced out. And are you ready? Last final instructions. Yes, what is it? Yes, what it is. It happens every time. Every time. Yes, what is it? Make sure your zippers are up. Every time. Oh, I'm sure. Whoa, that was me too. Thanks so much. And they're ready. They're ready. And he makes his way out there. We're standing there. And nothing happens until she's ready. That's the way we do it in our culture. It's completely different in the Jewish culture. The bride waits for the groom. Guys, say amen to that. Her whole party's like, when's he coming? When's he coming? And then if she has really good friends, her friends are supposed to say, Maranatha! Maranatha! He's coming! He's coming! By the way, you know, that's the cry of when Christ returns. Maranatha! He's coming! You're supposed to be ready, waiting. No man knows the day or the hour. That's all taken from a Jewish wedding and the picture of it all. And you keep that in your mind as we look at this. Because as Romans tells us, that we are to present ourselves a living sacrifice. Secondly, Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, do not be conformed to this world. That's a statement of the mind. Do not have your mind conformed to the image of this world. Mind control is big business, and it's also the fuel for hell. Mind control. Thirdly, don't be transformed, or I should say being transformed, by the renewing of your mind. That's how you counter a culture that wants to conform you to it, is to have your mind renewed. And fourthly, that you may be able to prove what is the good and acceptable, perfect will of God. It's God, listen, church, it's God's perfect will that you be rooted and grounded in His love letter until He comes. It's His writing to you that will keep you safe. It's His writing to you that will keep your heart hot for His coming and hot for the meeting of Him. So the first thing we see right here, mark it down, is our first argument is that with this mind, we see an increasing joy, which leads to greater assurance. Mark that down. increasing joy, greater assurance. If you're a Christian today, God wants you to have joy that's increasing, which leads to greater assurance. Paul wanted the Corinthians to know this. And listen, embracing false doctrine or spiritual weirdos would undermine their joy and undermine their assurance. When anyone ever gets off base, and listen, I know people, you know people. I know their names. You might know their names. They get their eyes off of Jesus. They get their eyes off the Word. And one of the things, one of the indicators, is their joy-o-meter starts to slow down. It starts to decline. There's a heaviness in the spirit. And then there's an insecurity that begins to happen in relationships, how they relate with God. And unchecked, and quite frankly, unrebuked and uncorrected, they will continue to decline down into a ruined life. Their friendships fall apart. Their relationship with God falls apart. Their marriages fall apart. Everything begins to fall apart. Why? Because they've been deceived by the enemy. They've been taken away from the very love of God. So that's why we're saying, with this mind, with your mind, what are you going to do with it? Understand this, that it's God's will that your joy in Christ increase. And the result of that should be greater assurance when your relationship with Jesus. Why? Why should I? See, Jack, why should I have greater assurance? Why should my joy increase? Okay, for this reason. Mark it down. God's love is a possessing love. I like this. Possessing. I could say possessive, possessing. In the present tense, possessing. God's love, because it is a possessive love, is a possessing love. Now, listen, I'm going to use words today that you and I in our culture, we've been taught to push back from, like possessive. You say, oh, I don't want to hear about that. Wait a minute, I'm not talking about human possessiveness. That's sick. That's weird. Okay? I'm talking about God's possessiveness over you with his love. And that's going to lead to greater joy and a whole lot of assurance. So, mark that down if you would, that God's love is a possessing love, and we learn this in verse 1 and part of verse 2. He says, oh, that you would bear with me a little folly. That word folly is silliness or recklessness, foolishness, actually. Put up with my foolishness, will you? I'm wondering if Paul wasn't thinking, hey, Corinthians, seeing how you're so adept to listening to these idiots that are coming behind me to try to undermine the relationship between you and God, then why don't you listen to this idiot right now speak to you? If your mind is so open, oh, you know, you need to keep an open mind. Where did that come from? By the way, have you ever noticed that people who preach have an open mind to you? Their mind is closed, so shut. Don't you love that about the demands of certain people? Well, you know, I believe in tolerance. And then you say something and they completely do not tolerate you. That's fantastic. Well, here's the deal. God's love is a possessing love. And so in verse 2, he says, for I am jealous for you with godly jealousy. Let me tell you what this is not saying. Look at your Bible very carefully. It does not say, for I am jealous of you with a godly jealousy. Do you see that? What does it say, church? I am jealous for you. Big difference. If someone is jealous of someone, that's a sin. That's sickness. That's sick. To be jealous of someone is they're prettier, they're handsome than I don't like them. Their car is shinier than mine. I don't like them. Their house is bigger or cuter. I don't like them. Their clothes, I don't like. Do you understand that? Jealous of someone is sin. That's wrong and it's sick. Listen, I don't know if you know this or not, but Oprah Winfrey, you can read about this. She said that she gave up on the God of the Bible because she read in the Bible that he is a jealous God. And she said, that means I don't want to follow a God that weak like that. And poor Oprah, my foot, rich Oprah failed with all her money. She couldn't understand. She didn't take the time to understand what the Bible has to say. It's not the fact that God is jealous of us. And by the way, Paul is mimicking the very heart of God. Paul is not saying to the Corinthian church, I'm so jealous of you guys, listening to all these false teachers. How cool that must be. That must be so much fun. I got to stick on this straight and narrow path, you know. Just no, he's jealous for them because why? Because God is jealous for them. And the truth is, the Bible tells us, mark it down, in fact, it's Exodus chapter 20, verse 5. Exodus 20, verse 5, God introduces this thing about jealousy. But we'll define it here today. God says to the nation of Israel in Exodus 20, verse 5, you shall not bow down to them, that's idols, nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. There it is. Boom, jealous. Here's what the word means in both Greek and Hebrew as applied to God. Are you ready? Write it down. It means to be burdened with another's welfare. So all of a sudden now, in a few seconds, this is cuddly kind of theology, but I mean that in a good way. God is saying, watch this, God is saying, don't get messed up in false doctrine by false teachers preaching a different spirit, a different Jesus, and a different gospel. Why? Because those things are idols. They will lead you astray. Watch. I'm a jealous God for you. I do not want you to be wounded. I do not want you to be hurt. I do not want you to be led astray. This is why God is jealous for us. God is not in heaven wringing his hands because, oh no, look, Susie just set up an idol in her backyard and she's bowing down to that totem pole. Oh, I'm struck with grief. What am I going to do? I mean, I'm the one true God, but she carved this thing out of a telephone pole and she's bowing down. I'm so hurt by this. Listen, God is disgusted by it and it's an abomination to him, but it doesn't change him at all. Who's it going to change? Who's it going to destroy? Susie. Listen, God is jealous for us, meaning I don't want you to be hurt, thus saith the Lord. You head down that path of worshiping whatever, fill in the blank. Some people worship power. Some worship, looks. Some people worship money. Some people fill in the blank. Oh, that's it. Why'd you marry him? Why'd you marry her? Why are you going in that direction? Oh, opportunity. And you're going to, you depart from the stability of knowing God and start flirting with these other things. And the Lord says, you know what? You're committing spiritual adultery.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called With This Mind. It's a multi-part series taken from the opening verses of 2 Corinthians chapter 11. With This Mind is part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse look at this New Testament letter, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, Pastor Jack, let me just throw this out there real quick. Easter Sunday is right around the corner. It should be the most celebrated time for a Christian.
Absolutely. Hey, listen, it's our day, everybody.
I love that.
There is no Supreme Court that's going to change it. There is no elected official. There is no tyrannical despot that can change this. This is our day. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. And Davey, what we would like to do is extend an invitation. If you're somewhat local here in Southern California, if you live in the LA Orange County area, we, number one, want to encourage you to attend a Bible teaching church in your area. If you're not familiar with that, or if you'd like to maybe go through the service with us, then you can join us online as we'll stream it live.
Yeah.
We'll do that for Good Friday and Resurrection service. And you can do that by going to reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and you can click on right there, watch Pastor Jack live. We'd love to have you guys. And then also keep this in mind, Good Friday services are going to be at 5 o'clock in the evening and 7 o'clock. We've got two services that night. Communion's going to be served. And again, if you're in the area, come and be with us. If not, if you're outside the LA Orange County area, then we'll be streaming live to you. And, you know, you can join us. Imagine that. You can have communion with us right in the living room of your friends and family there. And then Resurrection Sunday morning, Easter service, 6 a.m., 8 a.m., 10 a.m., 12 noon. Four services for you to pick from. And again, go to a Bible teaching church in your neighborhood. But if you're not aware of any, then you can make the drive. If you live in the LA Orange County area or outside the area, you can join us as we stream it live to you by going to reallifewithjackhibbs.org and click on Watch Pastor Jack Live. I'd love to have you, but actually more than that, we'd love to have you attend a Bible teaching church in your area.
And that's for Good Friday and for Easter Sunday morning, right?
Absolutely.
Okay,
yeah.
Very good. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.